The comment sections are on fire. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody from all parts of the world. I am so happy that you found me and that you have come back. This week is a pretty interesting thought. I've been holding on to this one for about a week and was just trying to decide on how I wanted to go about this. But then, of course, as the week goes on, you're out busy doing life and a few other things, and you lose track of what you were thinking. So I just happened to be here at this moment. I was supposed to be out actually driving, but I happened to be here at this moment signing up for some other stuff and decided, you know what, let me get this out of my head while I can. So you're here, I'm here, the phone is here, my headphones in. Let's just dive right into this. Welcome back. My name is T. Anthony Bland, a.k.a. Whitebeard, my partner. TK, my daughter Hannah, is not here. As you guys know, for the past couple of weeks and since the return, the semi-return to kind of finish off the season that we never finished officially, is not here. She is currently freezing to death at work, taking a new training class to get her, well, she has a license for selling health insurance. So she's taking a training class at the office right now, the job I used to work at. Go back and check out that podcast. You'll hear all about that part and why I'm not there anymore. So that's what she's doing right now. She's been in training all this week, getting out at 4. So we've been able to have dinner at a decent hour, a normal hour, which we used to always eat around 5:30, 6 o'clock. And could start our fasting window right then and there to get a good enough fast at around 8 o'clock in the morning. We can eat breakfast. But, you know, I was getting off at 6. She was getting off at 7 p.m. By the time we ate, it was like 7, 8 o'clock at night. And it really just threw off a lot of our schedule, including the workout. But we did go in at 10:30 in the morning. So we were able to go out and either hike 3 miles, walk 3 miles, or hit the gym before we went into work. And then we eat late, about 11-ish, before we went in. Not 11. 9:30, 10 o'clock before we would go in. So that kind of threw things off. So this week we've been, you know, she's been here a little earlier, but we really haven't had much time together because she would come in and do some stuff. Or I was out, like yesterday, I was driving, so I didn't even get home early enough to cook dinner, so she had to cook. So I was out delivering food, coming back, and it's been a week. And things are not as stable as I want them to be. So I'm only giving this job thought about another 2 weeks before I start applying for something else. You know, it might be just easier for me. It's not for everybody. It might be just easier for me to just walk into an office, get my paycheck, and go home. So, yeah, that's how that goes. Anyway, so, you know what? Let's go with the Hamas stuff first. Last week, over the weekend, there's this woman on IG I like to follow. This is kind of leading to where I really want to go with this. Off the Grid Family or something like that. I forgot her actual name. But she and her family, I think she comes from, she was a nurse once before. I forgot what her husband does. But a few years ago, they packed up all their stuff, brought some land out in New Mexico, and they are homesteading right now. off the power grid, so they have all their own things. She's building up all the stuff out there, has a teenage son and another younger son out there. And the boy just runs wild. He's out there with the chickens. And he was on a 4x4 one day. And right after that, gets to go do his schoolwork because they homeschool him, which I thought was a beautiful thing. So I'm like, yeah, that's good. That is a great life. You know, not too many people who grew up in the city area are able to do that. And they sold the house that they had and was able to get out there. What they're basically they're in the desert, but they're really, really building it up. And what she did was she started documenting this whole thing. And so she took her documentation and turned it into a business. She offers a course for people who want to learn some of the things about going off the grid. I believe her courses are, I haven't taken any of them, but she really teaches you all the different ins and outs and things that you don't know that people don't tell you that they didn't know. From what she says in the videos that she does, it's not a step-by-step do what I did, but these are some things that you could do. I think that's a massive trapping when you start talking about people in the outdoor world, whether it's off the grid living. But the bigger trap, this is where I want to, which is really want to say, is with overlanding, and sometimes with hiking, especially in terms of backpacking. People always offer their expert advice of what you should do and what you can do, and do these other things. Like I follow a few other people on YouTube, and you guys know who they are, and you know, they'll be like, we'll do this battery and we'll do this new housing and they'll put the double batteries and they'll get this red arc and they'll do this and they'll do that. But the whole point is, unless you have that money, you can't do that. And if you plan on building up your entire rig to do all that stuff before you go out, it may take you some years and you will be plopping down a lot of money. And then when you're doing that, this is all specialized stuff you've done yourself, which means you better have the tools and the know-how, or have learned the know-how to get it done. And too many people fall in the trap of trying to follow people like that and do exactly what they do and emulate them, but you can't exactly do that. My whole dream is just to, you know, full-time travel. We were basically part-time traveling for a little bit, and that came to a screeching halt. We were supposed to go across the country this year, but I put that on hold because all the issues with the job, just said, you know what, just going to focus on finding something where we can make enough money. We can do some other stuff. Want to actually fly out of country next year. So those are the things that are in the work. Now, while I would love to do that, it's like moving down here and the people who we speak with in church and we go to their homes for prayer meeting. We would just went to a couple's house the other night and it's a beautiful place. But you know, when they left California, they had a house in California, like I think off a beach or something like that. So they sold that when they got here and brought something else. A few other people in church who've moved here have done the same thing, much like the people who do full-time overlanding, full-time travel or backpacking, something else. They had something, they had a cache of money that they can sell and get rid of to be able to do those things. And the trapping is to think, well, look at them, I can do it. If you're not in that position, then you can't do that. You have to start from where you are. Like I would have loved to put stickers and patches all over the puddle jump owl car. But we were living in the South Bronx. So everything I thought of to do was to make sure our things are low profile. So we have our patches, but they're lined in the inside of our car. There wasn't much I can do. I was going to put a shovel on the outside of my car to get it robbed or do some other stuff. So, you know, we started with where we were and what we had, and basically focusing on ourselves, our surroundings, and what we were doing. The same thing when it came to hiking and backpacking. You know from my picture that clearly I'm black, I'm brown, whatever word you want to call. So there weren't too many people in the South Bronx or in my family, as my testimony, my story goes, who were into this. I told her the other day we were looking through an L.L. Bean category, a category, catalog, and I said, All these years I've been looking at these people skiing and stuff like that, and hiking, and I said, never in all my wildest dreams did I ever look at them and go, I'd like to do that. I never thought about it. I just looked at it, got the kid coat, got my coat, and went about my business. And now I'm noticing from all these companies that I buy from, that I've been buying from long before I got to the world of the outdoor, is that, oh my gosh, I missed the entire thing. So that's where we started. And when we started our channel, it was all about that. It was about trying to show people that they can get out there with their family, and being my age, our weight, my daughter's asthma, that you could still do it. You have to modify what you do, but you have the ability to go out and do it. Wasn't trying to set anybody up for the trap. We've told people, poles are expensive, boots are expensive, but better you have great boots on your feet that's going to cost you 200, 250, 100 at the lowest, if you can find that on sale, because you're trekking. Like, you need good tires to get you through the winter if you're in cold states like New York or wherever you get snow. You need good tires to get you not only through the winter but throughout the year, because you rely on your car to get you where you need to go. You rely on your feet to get you where you need to go. And so you need those boots, and you need them good. You need the poles, because that stuff is going to protect you from falling on your face and protect your back and your legs so that you can hold your strength in your arms. Put more weight in your arms than you are putting on anything else. So these things are basic. We've always told people those are the basic things that you need. You need something to carry water in, and you need to carry water because you will get thirsty. You need to have something that's going to keep you hydrated. And those are the basics. It was never to blow smoke up anybody's booty and say, this is what we did, and make it all look glamorous, because it is glamorous at times, but it is not. And so the off-grid homesteader, she talks a lot about that in the classes she has. And she focuses on that, and focuses on people who are interested in that, and wanting to live a life off the grid, who are, some of them are doing it right away with very little money, and some are also building up their capital to be able to do it. So on the weekend, she posted this video on Instagram, and she got immediately attacked. Now, she had one comment pinned, and it got rid of it, and I think another one, she pinned up a different one up there. And I'm going to read to you one of the comments in it in a moment. But the reason why she posted, she said, listen, some of y'all out here are not going to like this. And she went on to say that people have been commenting on her page telling her she needs to be an activist, and she needs to be out there, and taking, basically taking a side on the war and a whole bunch of other stuff. But And BLM and all this, you need to be an activist, you need to be this. She said, listen, if you have the bandwidth to do that, then fine. But for her, she's like, why am I going to worry about something over somewhere else that neither you or I can do anything about? I'm going to focus on what's right here, what's around me. So she's showing the camera and said, I have things here that I have to worry about right now. I can't be really worried about that stuff over there, or even continue to put this stuff inside my mind when I have to focus on these other things. And I wholeheartedly gave her a thumbs up, and then launched into my own story about that, which I'll get to you momentarily. But here's the pinned comment that someone said. This is what's wrong with, all caps, most of Americans. Heartless, careless people like you. Stay in your bubble and wait until the drama comes to your front door. You aren't immune from this. You aren't immune from this pervasive hate. Yes, you aren't immune to, oh, sorry, you aren't immune to this pervasive hate, and that's why you try to escape. Wake up and open your eyes. I'm unfollowing. Then gave a peace sign with 1, 2, 3 Palestinian flags. Her name is Lovely Air, or whatever her name is. It doesn't really matter. And she got so much hate comment after that. That led to that. And then there was another one. The person said, well, you can just unfollow. You can, what was it? You can delete this or not. So she went, no, I'm not deleting this. So she posted it up. And that was the first one. That whole thing was just long. The comment was ridiculously long. Slamming her all over the place. Talking about she don't know what she's talking about. This and that and the other. And I guess she decided to pin this one up here. Because this person said she's going to unfollow with all the other things. And it was a whole thread of just hate. And then finally, you get to people like me and some other people who are just like, you know, so that's her choice. You know, she chose to respond to all the people who were, oh great, they're banging on the walls or whatever they were preparing and finishing upstairs. I feel like I'm back in the Bronx again trying to talk to you guys or people. Working. Anyway, so she was responding to people putting pressure on her that she should go and do these different things, and she said no. And I agree. I agree. As she said, if you have the emotional bandwidth, because too many people are caught up. Just look at what's happening. Too many people are caught up in this whole emotional gameplay that the media has been playing on people. And I heard one person say a couple of days ago, was like, you know the reason why they're doing this? They're doing this so that when it comes to jumping in or taking sides or going to war, they've already got you prepared for it. What's the whole thing? You know the comment they always put in these movies? And they do it in real life. You know, we're going to try this in the court of public opinion. So you get public opinion and a public support around whatever issue that you're going to do by pumping the media with these different things so that you get to the point where, like, yeah, we're ready. And then that's what happens. And that's pretty wicked and kind of stupid to do such a thing. But this is what. This is what's happening in our world, and this is what people do. But it comes down to you and I arguing online. I've heard some stuff for AOC. I was going to play something today. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I don't really, you know what? I'm not caring what she says anymore. I do care, but that's not what I want to spend my time talking to you about. I think it's more important that we talk about and think about things a little differently. So I wasn't going to use her this week. I do want to point to the fact of that whole emotional, it's not an emotional roller coaster, it's an emotional hostage. I don't really have the words in my brain right now for it. But I will tell you this, this is where we are. We are taking sides and hating one another again. It's all 2020 and everything else. All over again. And the massive, biggest, giant, humongous problem is, before Palestine became Palestine and the Palestinians were Palestinians, they were Arabs. And this fight of trying to annihilate the Jews have been going on for eons. If you are a Christian, then you know you've read all of the stuff in the Bible, and this was centuries ago. This is centuries old warfare. This is centuries old hate and a battle. Long before the names of the lands had changed, long before the names of the people who live in the land have changed, this has been going on for centuries. Long before all the little so-called do-gooders and the people running their mouths right now were ever even born. And half of them don't even know a millimeter of the story in the history of Jerusalem. And that's the worst part. They're the same people who were screaming bloody murder because you and I didn't want to wear a mask. They're the same ones who went, you know, and got shot up and, well, we know the outcome of that American experience, don't we? I'm not going to go there. Just people do not know the long history, and yet they're over there, free Palestine, like, really, cheering at the violence, cheering at the murder, cheering at the rape, cheering at all the death. And it's insane. Like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And when a woman says that, listen, I'm not jumping into that whole activist bag or anything else because right now I need to focus on me and right here and what I'm doing. And she's absolutely right. You know, when the towers went down, we were homeschooling our kids at that point, some of them, and they were about to go to school or we were getting prepared for school, or some of them were, one of the, or two of them were already were in school. We were in between. I forgot. But my mother called and told me to turn on the TV. And so we turned on the television, and like, what's going on? And we saw a reporter talking, and a towel was burning. And while he's talking, we're watching the television. I'm like, oh, snap, that's going on. And so we kind of glanced out the window and saw smoke. Because when we lived on the 14th floor, we could see all the way down lower Manhattan, and we saw the smoke coming from the tower. And so I think the kids were at the window at that point. And so we're watching the television. While I'm watching the news, I'm watching the plane slam into the second building. And I'm watching the reporter as all the stuff is coming down, debris is coming, and he's just running and all the other stuff, right? So I watched that happen live. What followed after that was ABC had a tower, I believe, up in there, or maybe their tower was on, they may have had their tower in on the Empire State Building because they were one of the few channels that was still up while everybody else got crashed, while everybody else's channel crashed. So what followed after that was we turned off the television. Well, we had it on for a little bit, but then we went back to doing about our day, and we were looking out the window as well and just watching what was going on. There were masses of people coming across the bridge into the Bronx because they couldn't get home any other way, and we're just watching the smoke just rise up out of Manhattan. Maybe by the end of the day, you could smell the fire. A couple of hours or a day after that, we just had no fly zone. And so you could hear the Blackhawks flying in between a building and projects going over, just checking things out. It was weird because we're in a flight path. So the planes would come over our home to go to LaGuardia Airport. And we heard nothing. If there was something, it was a military plane going on. So that's what life was for us. Now, the point of this thought, the next couple of days after that was, the TV's running on in the back if you had it on, but every time we turned it on, you hear the person talking, and then they just keep showing the plane crashing into the building. Now, the next day, the next hour, plane crash into the building, the 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 people falling out the window. At one point, I don't know if it was day two, and I just said, just turn it off. Let's turn it off. So we turned off the television. We turned off the television, and that was it. There was no more news coming on from anywhere. The TV went off because it was my job to protect my family's mental and emotional health as it was also for myself. The year before, it was the year before, right? I had lost maybe about a year and a half, but a full year that I could never get back. I had severe panic attacks, so I barely got out of the house to do anything else. The second part of my thoughts will cover some more of that in a way. I'm trying to work in between them, working on whatever they're doing in the apartment next to us. I thought they stopped, so I restarted this whole thing, but I hear some more. I'm just going to talk through it, so not to wait until late in the day and I never get to my thoughts. So just bear with that, and there you go. And that was my job, as it is for that young lady and her husband and for her family, to protect that and do what they need to do. I agree. Countries like Israel and other countries are allies or friends of ours, like you, and you protect them and you help them when you can. You send them aid when you can. And if they need military might, you send them if you can, and if you choose to. You may choose not to. You may send a fraction of the things or send people who would teach them something. But that's what you do with people who are your friends. And you protect them. But you do not go out of your way, which would be really dumb. You do not go out of your way to come to the aid of them at the sacrifice of your own family, at the sacrifice of your own self. One thought just popped in my mind is that if you both lose, who's left? Not just who's left to tell a story, who's left? Put it like this. We all had friends growing up. There's always that one friend that never had anything, always on to borrow something, you're always giving them money and everything else, right? Every time you turn around, they need something. And then there was always that one friend that had the big mouth, that started fights, that got into things, and sometimes you backed them up in a fight. And sometimes you were smart enough to go, nah, I'm not with you with this. Because you put yourself in danger helping someone else when you need to make sure you're taking care of yourself. So that's about as much as I'm going to say about that. Yes, I believe that we should go and help these countries and these people who we know to be our friends and we've had this long-standing friendship with. But I don't believe we need to jump into every country and go in a conflict and a war. I mean, Vietnam was probably one of the worst things that we can think of. But they all went over there under the guise of being war advisors. And how long did that last? That lasted for too long. And it was a guerrilla fight. Now, was that true or was the government lying to us about them going over to advisors? I don't know. I don't know much about the history, so I'm not going to dive into it. I don't know much about what's happening over in the Middle East, except for I know that this is a very, very ancient fight. I don't know too much about it, so why should I jump on anybody's side to choose anybody's side? At the end of the day, I'm always going to choose the side of God. I'm always going to choose the side of the God of my Bible. I'm always going to choose the side that I feel he's on. That's number one, and I know it's kind of a blanket statement. But I'm not going to choose some side emotionally. Because every time you're led by your emotions, there is a whole bunch of proverbs about that. Anytime you're led by your emotions, you're led down a long and wrong path. And that's what the media has done with people for the longest. I mean, oh my gosh, people, didn't you have enough with the whole thing with Russia and the Ukraine? Didn't you have enough of what happened in 2020 when they just led black folks all down the line by the nose and just allowed things? It's like, is it enough? When are people going to stop being led by their emotions, check out the history of things, or at least look into something before you jump on the bandwagon of anything wholeheartedly, all in, throw your chips everywhere in, Before you do that, I was watching the show The Gilded Age. I hope I can get back to where I'm going to go. Watch the show The Gilded Age. And as usual, right, when you get around the millionaires, today is billionaires, you can't stand them. So it's this one guy who's going to run the a railroad. He wants to run a railroad. And so what the city council member were doing was they decided, well, they didn't like him. What they was going to do is they're going to bet against him. So they took his stock. They shorted his stock and so that he would lose all his money. And then they were going to buy the stock, pass the law, and make more money. Well, what he did was he figured it out. And they shorted the stock. He brought all of the stock. And when he tried to crash the stock, he had the stock. And so he held them hostage as all of them lost big. There was this one guy who brought in to the other council members and he sold everything to buy the stock that they were going to short. So when the railroad tycoon brought it all back and everything crashed, he held the cards and this guy had zero. He had no money. Even his partner said, well, what did you do? He said, I bet it all. All of his stuff. He went all in, cash, all in with his chips. And bam, he was ruined. He ends up blowing his own brain off. You know, blows his own head off and blows his brain out. I'll put the two together. You know what I'm talking about. So, this is where everybody is emotionally. They're throwing all their weight behind something, all their trust and their faith in something, and they don't even know what they're talking about. They have no idea about the history or anything else. None of it. Even these Christians. Who should be leading the way? Let me read something to you. Let me find it. I did have it set up. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So, if Christians are going to lead the charge, shouldn't that be what they're leading the charge on? Loving the enemy whom you have designed and whom you've chosen as your enemy, love them and you're praying for those. And praying for the people who persecute you. Now, Jesus was talking about a whole other stuff. But we always can glean from scripture and take from these things because it's still the same principle. Because we always come right back to the first thing that he said, which was to love. The greatest of all these commandments was to love your neighbor as yourself. There are dead people on both sides of Europe, Russian and Ukrainian. There are dead folks on both sides in Israel, the Arabs and Israelis. There is nothing fun about war. There is nothing that's not tragic about war. And for them to parade across the television screen that women and children were murdered. I really hate when they do that. And if you haven't been listening to me long enough to figure it out, you know how much I hate it. Women and children. So what? Women are being raped. Children are being raped. So what? That doesn't make the crime any worse. They're not any more innocent than anybody else. The crime itself is rape. The crime itself is murder. That's harsh and hard enough. But in order to play on your emotional strings, we will put up for you the thing that you might hold so much dear to you, a little bitty baby. Yes. That will pull on your heartstrings. But what should already pull on your heartstrings from the beginning is the death of people who were born, who are image bearers of God, a human life taken. Period. Stop. That's it. And the lives that are lost on both sides should cause us all to be praying for those families, cause us all to be praying for the peace of Israel, praying for all of us to be praying for the peace in Palestine or whatever they want to call the countries right now. It should have us all calling and praying for peace and for something to change. For something to change. This is all about the human heart and how hateful and bitter we are. You know, we go back to talking about the thing in Europe. It's like one guy, you know you're losing, but what are you doing? You want to just keep dragging this out until you run out of the money from the other person. Well, you already don't have any money. That's why you're shopping around America and everybody else to get you some cash and weapons. Just stop. It's going on 2 years. And there's too many people whose lives are destroyed, too many buildings that are destroyed, too many homes that are destroyed, and it's going to take years to repair all that damage. Because of the hearts of the leaders that are so hard. And that, my dear listener, is a reason why I agreed with the off-grid homestead. The same way I made that choice to protect my children and myself emotionally and mentally when those towers went down and turned off the news. It's like, what is the point of constantly putting this stuff, bombarding yourself into your brain about something that, yes, one, you can't do anything about. Two, you've got so much going on in your own life right now that you need to focus on so that you can stay healthy to be able to continue to do those things, that you don't need to take on extra stuff that's going to make things even worse for you. Mentally, emotionally, in anything else. Hold that thought. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. My final thought this week is this. If you follow me on Instagram, T. Anthony Bland, you would have noticed that I posted last week's adventure. We went hiking. It took us 2 hours to get where we needed to go. And I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag because we have not posted anything about the entire trip last weekend. I just posted one little picture that I took, and the point of that is how in which that picture came about. Things didn't go as we had planned. We got there early enough to do what we wanted to do. We left a little later, but I didn't want to leave that early anyway because we needed some rest from the week. So we get to the park. And we want to hike this trail. I'm going to let you know something before everybody else at YouTube and Instagram find out. Is that we get there and we had to turn around halfway in the trail. Now, if you know anything, you know that I don't like to turn back when hiking. And there are a lot of life lessons to learn from that. The reason why you never turn back when you hike. For the first, number one is, if it took you 2 hours or 2 miles to get in, you're going to have to hike that's 2 miles to go back out where you just came in. So think about that. If it took you 2 hours to get where you're going, it's going to take you 2 hours to turn back around to get back out. Now, if your trail ends within that 1 hour, you know, one more mile, you might as well go ahead and continue and hike that mile and get it over with. 2 hours in is 2 hours out. So that's 4 hours, and then you didn't even finish. So you might as well just do that one more mile, that one more hour, and just be done with it, and you would have not wasted your time or your energy, nor your ankles and everything else. So, but we had no choice at this particular point to turn back. We've been climbing trees, getting over there, moving trees off the path, and a lot of other debris, trees that have fallen, trees that were cut down, and If I sound a little scattered, it's because every time they drill and make some noise, it kind of trips me off what I'm saying. So we really had no choice this particular time. It wasn't that we were tired. It wasn't that, we were hungry or out of water. We physically couldn't get past on that trail. So we had to find another way around or just leave. And I was already mad because I had taken the week off as our bye week. And we spent that weekend driving around. She was helping out with Instacart driving around that Saturday. And so I was really looking forward to being outdoors for a lot of different reasons. For me, mentally, it was a healing balm for me mentally to be out in the outdoors when it first started. And it is something that continues to be that for me and also energizes me and gives me strength. A little bit more on that later. So we had to turn back, and the entire trip going back down the hill to the car, I got mad. I was getting madder and madder and madder and madder. Madder and madder and madder and madder. Yeah, well, you know what I mean. And it frustrated me, and before I know it, I started slipping down this dark hole of why things don't go right. How come this doesn't work here? How come this doesn't work there? How come this doesn't? And I became under this massive mental attack. I wasn't physically tired. I was now getting mentally tired. And I could hear her in the back, trying to encourage me. We can go around. We can drive. I think at one point, I'm like, where are we going to drive to? And so we can drive over to the thing. And I said, no, there was this other place. We'll just go over there, something like that. And then I was really just tuning her out, just, fighting to get out. As you know, she's trying to joke. And, she was making a suggestion, but I'm like, I'm going to listen to it. I'm listening to everything in my own head about this entire day, how the entire day was wasted. It was already in the afternoon now, and so the temperatures here were dropping. Tennessee is kind of cold in the morning, warm in the afternoon, early afternoon, late afternoon, it starts getting cold, and at night it's cold. So, and it was a big breeze kicking up over the weekend. So we had to turn back, and I didn't like it. So by the time we got back to the car, I was thoroughly just done. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to go. I just got mad, just got frustrated, and just got back in the car and just sat down. Then I started thinking about something that I had read early in the day. I started thinking about a post that I had saw, that I had seen on Facebook. Full disclosure, it's my sister who posted it about men in her community up where she lives at. And she was just asking for people to pray because a lot of those men up there had committed suicide. I don't have any stats for me. I didn't pull them up. I did talk about suicide on the show about a year or two ago. Man, I keep saying I'm a lot. And the stats are high for men with suicide rates and dealing with depression, how they deal with depression. And it's not pretty. Having gone through it for such a long period of time myself, I understand. I can't say I understand how all men think. I'm not even going to go that way. I can only tell you what goes through my mind, how I think, and what happens to me when I go through these things. And why it is important, as I said earlier, to protect ourselves emotionally, physically, obviously, right? Because we got to stay healthy emotionally as well as mentally. When you hear about people committing suicide, a lot of times you Not a lot of times. I don't think we're hearing that much today since we're at an age in our popular culture where everything is touchy-feely anyway, and you got too many people just opening up their mouths and running out their faces with how they feel about this, and they get their feelings hurt about every daggone thing. So you probably won't hear too much of people saying, well, they killed themselves because they was weak. May or may not be any truth to that, but there are some people who can take a bombardment of mental bombs being launched on them and emotional things to be launched on them. And there are some who just get to the point where they just want it to stop because they can't handle the pain. They do feel alone because no matter what you're going through, it is in your own brain. It is your own emotions that you're going through. So you really are literally going through it alone. Now, physically in the same room with someone, if there's someone who's their arm around you or someone saying, I'm here for you, whatever the world that means, I'm here for you. You're there for me. You're here for me. You know, I got you or whatever. Whatever those words are that people say, let's leave it at that. You're still the one dealing with it. You are still the one going through it. There is no one else. And for some, that feeling could be so heavy that they make a decision, and it's a permanent decision for something that is very, very temporary. And even if it is a long-term thing, you can handle it. Today you can't. This hour you can't. This entire day, this week may have been one of those weeks where you're just like, I just really, really just want to take a flying leap off a tall building or something like that. Fine. But if you look at it, you got through 5 days, you can make it to number six. If you got through this whole day, you could make it to tomorrow. So the best we could ever do is hold on because it's temporary. But for some, they don't have the strength anymore because they have been hit so many times, they can't see their way through anyway. Their way through, they can't see through, so they can't pull through. And that's why, as I was talking about earlier, why we need to protect ourselves. That's why that lady said what she said. Listen, I'm dealing with my own kids. I can't deal with something that has nothing else to do with me. A couple of years ago, when that kid in Florida got killed, I don't want to say Tawana Brawley, I forgot his name, the dude with the hood, the kid with the hood. And I had someone come to me. I was in the concourse on the Bronx. And said, would you sign this petition? Would you stand up with us? Would you stand with so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and I kind of heard the name on the news. And I said, Trayvon Martin. And I said, who the heck is that? And the person, well, he's in Florida. He didn't say he was in Florida. I said, he's so-and-so. He got killed by this and this and blah, 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 blah. I'm going, okay. Now, forgive me, folks, as I jump into the color bag. So I'm looking at this white kid. It was a white woman or two. I'm going, what? And there's a reason for this, and it is pertinent that I tell you this. So I said, okay, but how does that affect me? Well, it affects you because blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah. You know, it was a guy who just got shot in front of my building about a day ago. Where were you then? There's a couple of other things over here. There's got these gang members over here, right over here. This cop got shot, and are you caring about the cop over there? There's so-and-so. But yeah, but you should be doing this and so-and-so. I said, why? Well, you know why, right? Because my skin is the same color. So I looked at this fool and said, listen, I don't need you to come over here and tell me what I need to be feeling about my own black skin or whatever else. Blah, blah. I just, you already know. I launched my own arsenal at this fool. I said, you know what? I'm more concerned about the people right here in my own neighborhood. I don't have the time to worry about somebody else that died in Florida that has nothing to do with me. The person didn't get it. They were so angry and frustrated that I, as a black person, wouldn't be standing up with this. They understand why I wasn't indignant about something that happened in whatever, how many states down away from me, when I'm sitting here going, okay, well, where were you last week when this kid over here got shot by another black kid? Where were you when this cop just got blasted over here three blocks away from me? And with that, I cut them off and got on the bus. Now, this person's going to be sitting there mentally and emotionally tormented while I'm free from all that because I put it in the box where it belongs. That's there. This is here. That is concerning. I got it. I understand that. But I need to focus right here. And focusing right here keeps my mind and my attention where it needs to be. And so is the case where you have all the stuff about Hamas and you have Israel and you have that lady being attacked about her decision. Well, you know what? Y'all keep telling me I need to be an activist of this and I need to be this and I need to be this. This is what I'm focusing on. She's focusing on teaching other people. She's focusing on continuing to build what she's building for herself out there in New Mexico and everything else, and helping other people learn and understand these things about living off the grid and the different laws and stuff that you need. She's helping her little brown child, by the way. Yep, no, I there it is. There it is. I revealed the whole thing to you. She's worried about her son being raised out there in New Mexico, away from the actual city he actually was born and grew up in. Now he's got this whole world to run around in, learning how to shoot guns, how to raise chickens, how to build a home, how to build this other stuff. And that's what she's focusing on. And guess what, folks? Her focusing on that helps him to grow to be a healthy young man and a healthy young leader in his community and in the world that he's about to inherit as an adult. When those towers went down, I could have just went on and on and on and on and over and over and over and over and over and over and built so much hate for so-and-so and all these different people that my children that young would have grew up with so much hate for so many other race, not races, for so many other people. Muslim, green, black, blue, whoever. But they didn't, because that's not how we raised them. And I chose to protect their mind the same way I chose to protect myself from the nonsense that day. And so we get back to me turning back on the trail. So I started slipping down and thinking about those guys who committed suicide. And by the time I got to the car, I was already thinking about myself, right? We already know this part. And I'm just getting down on myself how the day didn't work. Now I just want to go home. I'm thinking, what am I going to do when I get back home? There's nothing to do. We're going to get back early. I don't have any movies to watch. I could read and blah, 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 blah. I started thinking about this, those guys. And I started getting like really, really just like down. And I got to the car. I'm like, let's just go. So as we're going to turn around, Hannah said, we could drive up there. I'm like, where? So she was showing me on the map. She said, okay, well, we go this way. We can get there. I said, all right. So we turn around, we continue going through the same route that we got to the parking lot, and we drove all the way up these turns, and there's these overlooks all along the way that you could see, and I'm like, whoa. So we finally get to the point that we were supposed to get to, the overlook we were going to originally, but we were going to hike it up and hike it back. And so we got up there. I'm like, well, where do you get out at? And so I turned around, I used my electronic map, and I found the direction from where the trail was coming from. I started going backwards to walk through it a little bit. I didn't go all the way through because I left my poles in the car. I was like, well, it seems like it's clear here. So it must have been in the middle part that had all the debris. So we went back and looked at the overlook, looked at the trail down, and looked at the beautiful sight of the mountains so far away, the curves and the colors from the fall were coming in. It was beautiful. And we get ready to get to the car, and I was snapping a few pictures. It was a great time, and I got some really, really, I shocked myself because I haven't used my camera in a while since focusing on video recording. I've forgotten my art of taking photos, and I got a few that's really, really good. I haven't posted them on Instagram yet. I will probably get to that this weekend. But Hannah said, there's a buzzard nest over here we can look at. And I'm like, what? Another overlook. So she goes down, she finds it. I go with her. Unfortunately, I left my pole. My pole's in the car. And so I wasn't going to venture down that rock to get over there. But apparently, you can get to one of those places that I've always wanted to do, was to walk out on a rock on the edge of a mountain and see nothing down. I think she got a few video shots or maybe a picture. So I said, we're going to go back and do that. We're going to go back, and I'm going to make sure I have my equipment with me so I can go out there and do that. So we're going to hold off until spring for that one, unless we get some good fall weather, because it's a 2-hour trek. We just have to do anything. Well, when we came back, we got back in the car and we drive down the hill. Now we're going to leave. I'm still a little frustrated. Things didn't go well, and I'm like, well, that's okay. And Hannah said, "Well, let's go eat over at the river that we saw." She wanted to go down to the bench right on the water, but we drove around an area. It was where people were fishing, so we didn't go that route. We kept going across the bridge. At this beautiful spot with this beautiful view off the river. But it was cold as the dickens. So we're sitting there wrapped up and eating. But again, I got another few pictures and all the other stuff. So we get back in the car. We drive. And she says, "See, the day turned out good anyway, didn't it?" I was like, "You're right. You're right." Now, I couldn't hear her suggestions to me going back to the car. When we got off to see the lookout area, the overlook that we were supposed to see, I kind of felt better. When I wasn't able to get over to the buzzard thing, I was like, "Dang it, I should have gone back." I didn't want to walk back, come back, and go back, and I just said, "Another time." When I took the picture, I didn't really see what the photo looked like until I got home. When I took the picture, I'm looking at her looking through the viewfinder, and a thought hit me. See, that's the perspective that we should have. Skip that, because that thought is not very well thought out. But she was right. When I finally allowed myself, not taking that permanent solution to something that was temporary, right? When I finally listened to her, I allowed myself to open up to the possibility that the day was going to actually work out and pan out for something even better than we had expected. And it did. For some, dealing with issues of emotions and mental health, that's usually what they need. Is someone trying to show them to shift their perspective and shift their viewpoint so they could see something. And even if you see it, it doesn't mean it's going to be that easy for them to shift and change. Because remember, you might be the one that could see something, but you're also not the one that has to deal with that mental anguish, that mental pain, that, oh, dare I say, that mental deficiency, that hurt, that illness that you have, or what have you. You're not the one dealing with it because you don't have this particular thing. That's not who you are. So you could see it. It comes easy to you. It does not come easy to that other person. So they have to be either coached into it, or they have to learn the skills to be able to make that shift in perspective, to make that shift in their mind, to be able to stand firm and then make the change so they can continue on. That's not easy for everyone. And for men, it's incredibly hard because for most of us, we are not gear oriented. We are, what's the thing? Task oriented. Like for me, if I have nothing to do, I simply go bananas. The first week when I left my job, I was going crazy. And then I started slipping into that blue mood. Okay, what are we going to do? We don't have any money. We still don't have any money. Still trying to get money. Still haven't done this thing correct in the past 2 weeks to see just how much money I could make to see if it's a viable solution or I need to just can it. However, we forgot where I was going with this. Without having something to do, whether it's working on video editing, even getting back to talking at a podcast or a radio show or talk show, whatever which way you want to call this, I can't. I have to do something. I have to do something. I have to be part of something, whether it's physical or I have to do something mentally. I have to be stimulated mentally. Intellectually, I have to be. Whether I'm studying something or in a conversation, I'm reading something, I have to be. That's just my makeup. And my wife, Cheryl, we weren't complete opposites, but we were like two pieces of puzzle that fit together. She understood this part about me. I didn't understand about that part about her, how she was always this sort of optimistic type of person. And to the day I saw her, when she didn't have any optimism at all, said, "I don't feel like going to church." And I'm not going to get into that. We discussed that many, many episodes ago about how that whole thing went. So I didn't get that. But I needed it and I leaned into it. So when I had tough things or tough situation, I bounce it off of her. And we've always discussed everything anyway, but I'm just saying, when I get to that point, I had that tough situation, I bounced off of her. And in that time, when I got into the situation where I couldn't see my way through, she knew me well enough that she can come alongside of me and coach me back to getting my focus on something else so that I could prosper, so that I could get through and do what I needed to do. And I don't know about all men, but for some men, I know for me, that was really needed. You had for years women tell me, "I want men to get into to the feminine side." No, you don't. The minute he starts crying, you start laughing at him. So many people get on the internet, start talking about that nonsense. Like, you know what, dude? This is the reason why you got that idiot, the one who I talked about last week. I can't even think of his name right now. Andrew freaking stupid Tate. That's why you had all those young people, those young men flocking to that moron. Because he spoke against that particular culture. He spoke back into young boys and young men who are clueless and don't know how to stand strong within the current culture and how to live. And that's why they gravitated to that knucklehead. Because that was something that was needed, because we had so many years of saying we want these men to be here, and then when they get there, you step all over them. You step all over their emotions. You call him weak because he did this. You call him weak because he did that. And if you ain't calling him weak, you're showing him that you are, and you're doing the other things. And within the black community alone, excuse me, folks, with the black community alone, so many black women act like they don't need the man or the black man. It's just like, okay, so why am I even here? You got your job, you got your promotion, I'm not needed, so bye. And then when he checks out, you're like, "Why are you checking out? Call him a dog, a BS, and whatever else you want to call him out your mouth." But when you don't work together like you actually do need each other to get someplace, that's what's going to happen. But let's get back to the mental state of men. If you don't have someone that comes alongside you that knows you or is willing or has the strength enough in their character to come alongside you, yeah, they're going to check out. And men are going to check out the way men do. They're going to do it like a man do. They ain't going to sit here and go, "Well, I think about, oh my God, no, bang, it's over." Cut and dry. So if you don't catch him, if you don't notice him, if you don't ride alongside and get where he's at before that point, he wants to check out, it may be too late. So yeah, pray for them. But also reach out and help them. Especially if you knew somebody that had to deal with this left and right and sideways and upside down. So, again, for me, I had Cheryl who was there. And when I lost her, I had no one. I was willing and ready to die with her at that moment. There was nothing else I can do. I had to deal with the family acting foolish, certain family members and children acting like a bunch of idiots and doing things and, just left me and a 13-year-old daughter all by ourselves at the end. We had people flocking around us from the church and everything else, but then right after the funeral, the whole entire church just disappeared. So it was just us. Which is us. I picked back up the bottle, went to work, functioned, came home, drank myself half to sleep. Half the time I didn't sleep for the first 3 months. Went on internet dating apps just to hear someone talk, just to read. I was getting texts every day from my wife. We called each other all the time. We said good night and good morning and kissed each other good night and good morning. We walked down the street and held each other's hand all the time to the annoyance of my children. So this grounding wire that held me mentally together was gone, and I had nothing. It must have taken about 8 months before I decided that I was going to live. Sharon would have probably picked up on it. If anybody else did know it and picked up on it who was around me, no one said anything or did anything, so it didn't help me. It just got worse for me. While onlookers sat on and looked along. But it got to a point where I said, I can't let this child deal with the death of two parents while she's 13. And I slowly, slowly, slowly tried to start pulling myself together. When we got the car, I felt better. If you don't know the story, you'll find out. You can find it on YouTube, and everything else about how the outdoors helped me. When all the church and everybody else just disappeared, I could barely pick up the Bible and read. So when we got the car and traveled along the road, I felt so much freer. I always felt Cheryl was riding with me. Then we got into hiking. I felt the presence of God hiking than I did anywhere else in any church previous to that, which is so weird. So most of the time I was hiking, I was really, really focused on God. I was hiking and leaving little stones for our first 52 hike challenge. And I said, I'm gonna bring Cheryl with me. She's gonna hike with me. So every time we summited somewhere, I left a little rock with her name on it and put what hike it was, and it's placed there somewhere along up and down the East Coast between New Jersey, New York, and upstate New York. I slowly had to work myself out of it. But the outdoor world and being in nature away from everything else was the thing that was a catalyst for me. Because there was no human around me. A 13-year-old who was now 14-year-old, who was getting to be 15-year-old, who was 16-year-old, she couldn't do it, and her mother wasn't there. And so now I needed to live because I didn't want her to have to bury both of her parents before she was 16. That was a thing that worked to save me. The shifting of my focus. My focus became our daughter, the baby, the last, the pleasant surprise, the one we both wanted but didn't tell each other. We wanted the girl but didn't say anything, although we were planning for a boy. That became my focus. And that's the thing again, I said was a catalyst for me. And every time I stepped outside, I felt better. Every time we got in the car and drove back to the Bronx in the ghetto, I felt worse. It just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And we've been planning to move for years, and it never happened. Because it never happened, I finally slipped into a deep depression for straight 2 years until we just picked up and left New York, December 22. Now we relocated to Tennessee and Knoxville, but things aren't as we had hoped and planned. But that's okay. Every day I get to look up and see the sun. I can drive the car a few miles and I can see the mountain. And I try to make sure that every day I go out and enjoy the sun and look at the sky that I could never see in the city, which brings me some peace. We found a little tiny church. We're not very well connected there, but that's somewhere to go and other people. Because you don't live in the city, most of the people spread out from you, so there's not like a tangible where you can touch someone right here or there because you're in your car traveling. So you meet people when you go to the store and stuff like that. But that's life here. Let's get back to the point. So without my grounding wire and without anybody else's help, I had to figure it out. And the figuring point for me, like I said, was I had to change my focus and shift my gaze to the last child I had to raise and bring into adulthood all by myself. I was a single parent once when I was in my 20s. It was hard enough with two kids. But now I'm a single parent. The only best thing was that she was a teenager at this point, and I really didn't feel like going through teenage years with her. But she was 13, going on 14, and then 15 and 16, and now she's 20. Now, the worst part is this, is that I was doing it alone, and I'm older now, far much older. I'm 40 years older than her, so I may not see, as I've said before, her getting married or her children. But, and that's what became incredibly hard. I'm so much older than her, doing it alone after spending 19 years of raising children together. And so I have to fight what so many of those other men have to deal with. So many people have to deal with. It's unfortunately that they took their own lives. I don't know what you, dear listener, could have done. I can't tell you what to do now. I am not an expert in any of it. But if you know someone who is dealing with depression, speak to them. Ask them how you could help. I don't know. They are literally going to have to go through it alone. But they don't have to not have a support system around them to go it alone. You may not want to deal with it or be afraid of it, like everybody, I guess, who abandoned, you know, who left us is because they don't want to have to deal with the death and everything else. Okay, fine. But you just totally checked out and expect something in return. I mean, you can't go to a bank and take out money you didn't put in. You expect something in return. There's not much that you're going to get into return. In return. So, that's not the point here. The point was, try to be their support system. Now, I'm not saying, like I mentioned earlier, to the point where you know, you're just going to run over to Israel. You're just going to do this stuff and so that you have nothing, because you have to be built up and strong in yourself in order to help somebody else anyway. But you can be there. You can lend a hand. You can listen. Ask what they might need. They may not know what they need. It might just be that you've asked and all of a sudden they unload on you and tell you everything they're going through. I couldn't for the life of me or now tell you what I needed. I know the absence of Cheryl tells me that I have to figure things out for myself. But she clearly knew what I needed. You know, and it's a shame that those men who killed themselves felt that that was the only way and that was the only out for them. Maybe someone was listening or paying attention. They could have come alongside like Hannah when we were on that trail and said, hey, let's try this. Let's go this way. Let's do this. Let's do something different. Now, I wasn't listening to her in the beginning. But we had about an hour to get out of that woods. It took us an hour to get in. It was a mile up, so we had a whole mile to go. So by the end of the mile, I'm like, okay, my ears are perked up. Okay, what is it that you're saying? You want to do what? By the time we got to the car, because she kept coming at it. We turned around. I got some great photos, a great time of eating on a riverbank, looking at the sun beginning to set. It was cold. Watching people outside playing with their kids, touching this beautiful, vibrant green grass. And I would have missed it if I wasn't able to shift and change my focus. Let's end with this. Like the woman on Instagram said, if you have the mental capacity and bandwidth to take on each and every single social problem and issue that is happening today across cyberspace, on the news, in the media, in the movies where they want to just preach and tell you everything are left and right. If the neighbor next door to you, if you have the capacity to put up a flag every month for everything that's going on, for every person that you want to put on a ribbon or some color or some other nonsense, if you're part of people want to add another flag, another letter to whatever your cause is, if you can do that and live your life and deal with your own problems in your daily life, then brother and sister, pick up that ball and run with it. But if you do not, and you're a normal human being, or you're a normal human being that has to deal with a lot in your own family and deal with a lot of juggling in your own life, you don't have the time nor the ability or bandwidth to take on each and every single thing that you see coming through the media. So take a break from it. Turn a lot of that stuff off and focus on something that is in your hand that you can actually deal with and use or deal with and change. Especially when it comes to your children. They're the ones that's going to follow you into this world, follow you into the world, take your place, and be the next people that will run this world. That's a greater place to focus on. The future. You can deal with the present, but you need to focus on the future. But you need to deal with yourself. Don't keep looking to everything that's out there to the point that it gets you, it holds you emotional hostage. You're emotionally wrapped up into it. You're mentally wrapped up into this to the point where you're throwing out hate. You're putting up your flags of some other country that's going through some stuff that ain't got nothing to do with you, and you can't even pay your daggone bill. Go to the store and have to put back some bread, and you have the nerve to put up three peace fingers and a Palestinian flag. And last month it was the Ukraine flag, and the summer it was the trans flag, and you putting bread back in the store. Why don't you focus on, why don't we try to have our attention focus on right here and now with us so we could be better human beings? We could be healthier human beings, mentally, emotionally, and physically, financially. Then we can help other people. But if everybody is wrapped up into this emotional, I almost say hysteria, whatever it is, then there'll be no healthy person among us, no rational thinking person among us. So, like the off-grid homesteader, I have but so much room to put on so much other stuff. When in my real life, I had to focus on being able to take care of my own self and make sure I'm getting my food correct, my diet straight, and my medication until I can get off all of it. And I don't mean when I'm on the other side of 6 feet. So why should I make myself emotionally and mentally unhealthy even more? By worrying about which side I'm going to be on, this side or that side of war, who am I going to be over here with, should I throw up my fist or my black fist and do... Nah. The only side I'm choosing is not Israel or Palestine. It's God's side. And last I checked, let me see, which says here in John 13, 34, 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now I'm speaking first to you, Christian. Remember that? Remember hearing that? Let's try living that. Because Jesus also said that the greatest commandment out of all these things was to love your neighbor as yourself. How are you going to be bitter and hating on this person because they did this and because they did that? I know. There's some people within the Christendom that's a little too liberal and a little too leftist and everything. I get that. But your job is to pray for them. Your job is to remember that you ought to be loving some of these people. Your job is to stay focused on Christ. Not the crisis around you, but the focus on Christ. Because when you do that, then you have the capacity to love. And bridging that with where we were talking about, if you don't take on all this emotional and mental baggage, then you are healthy enough to be able to do something to help somebody. So let's focus on that. And you, who are just listening, who just found me in 2023 or 2063, if this stuff still exists in the cyberspace, you and the other person are both humans. You're both a human being. Whether or not you want to understand it or believe it, you are crafted and made to be image bearers of God, the Creator. Love that person. Treat them with respect. You don't have to agree with them. They don't have to agree with you. And because the two of you don't agree, doesn't mean you have to breathe hateful words and hateful comments and tell them that they need to do this and they need to do that. No, you both need to be human beings and respect one another. And respect each other's opinion, especially when neither one of you are an expert. And with that, I leave you guys to next time. God bless you.